Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome aboard to the Pomp and Joe Show. Austin City Limits Bechtold to my left. We're going to talk about Hard Knocks. That's what everybody's talking about today and our feelings about that. It's a special day on the fan, too. It's our day of giving to the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. It's Fan for the Win. And to help, you can go to 937thefan.com and click on Fan for the Win and donate. And this hour, the 10 a.m. hour's game changer sponsor for our fight against domestic violence is Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. As I said, you can be a game changer too. Go to 937thefan.com, click on Fan for the Win, and then donate. Safety is a basic human need that many of us take for granted. Thousands of adults and children in our area who fear for their lives because of the threat of partner violence. Make a donation and help these families have a better holiday. So we're going to be inviting in some folks who work in this area and hopefully inviting you onto our website to help out here. Bob Limits and I were supposed to take a field trip last night, and at the last minute he canceled. So I went out to the Beaver Blackhawk boys basketball game last night.
Where you skipped the hot dog shop?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I went out to the hot dog shop, but was informed by my buddy, the Beaver coach, Jason Bumbliss, that I can't get a photo on a cup out there because I'm not from Beaver County. So you and Bob, or you and Ron, have dibs on that, apparently. I'm not threatening
I think all the more reason for you to just move. You can just do that for that reason. A lot of people transfer, you know, trying to get their kids into school. You need to do it so you can get on a cup. I think that's a huge distinction. You deserve it, but you have to move. So you want me to call Sue and tell her right now? You're looking at listings?
I can't change the fact that I'm not from there, Bob. I just can't, and I'll never be on a cup. Like, are you and Ron together on the cup?
We're together on a cup.
Did you know that, Limits, that it wasn't separate cups, but those two together?
No, I did not know.
Did you know they don't have a shot clock in high school basketball?
Oh, I'm very aware of that.
That should change. That's old school time to change stuff.
It's got to change, Bob. However, it was compelling theater last night because Beaver, with a lead in the first half, held the ball. Blackhawk let them hold the ball for a bit, so they held it, and it got dramatic. You had one coach or one player came over to talk to the Beaver coach on the sideline while the game was going on. You had the crowd for both sides getting restless. It was unbelievable tension and drama at Beaver High School last night, Bob. And then after holding it for a while, number zero, whose name I forget, little point guard, darted to the basket and made a hoop, and the crowd went wild.
So
it was a good game.
They kind of lulled them to sleep, and all of a sudden
they lulled them to sleep, Bob.
Number zero.
It was a fun game. Limits will have to go back out there. Bumbliss is looking for you. He's not happy.
We will. I told you to apologize for me to him. I will formally apologize to him when I meet him.
He wants a written letter. Okay?
Okay.
Bob, you didn't see Hard Knocks, did you?
I watched a little bit, but I was working late last night, so I haven't really looked at the whole thing.
Well,
and I plan to do that today.
Well, I think there are...
I saw some of the clips and whatever, so...
Here's what I took from it. Limits, you've seen it, I assume?
Yeah, I watched the first half of it.
So neither of you watched the whole thing. You had one job today, which was to watch Hard Knocks, and neither of you have watched it.
I worked,
Joe. This is unbelievable.
Joe, I worked till midnight. I got home. I don't have a lot of things going on at
Bob,
midnight.
Bob, I was up till 2 a.m. watching it.
I'm up till 2 a.m. all the time, but I had something else going on that I had to take care of. So
okay. The whole town is talking about it. Here's the story. The story was Mike Tomlin. I think.
And that's not an upset.
No. I think that he inadvertently stole the show. He was the star of the first episode of Hard Knocks. Because, at least when I'm watching, and I think when a lot of people are watching, he's an incredibly compelling character no matter what he's doing.
And it's natural, by the way.
And it's natural.
It's who he is.
He could be eating Fritos, which I love the fact that he was eating Fritos because I'm a Frito guy.
I was hoping for pork rinds. It would have made a better show today.
Breaking down tape in the film room. Even the most mundane things he does, when he talks, you listen. He's a compelling character on the screen, on the television, when he's talking to Hayward at halftime, when he's dealing with Pickens and telling him, stay with me after that first play, when he's calling Wilson, Mr. Wilson, when he's saying we cannot coexist with the Bengals, to Justin Fields on the sideline, when he's spending the whole week prepping Herbig for Zeus, for Orlando Brown.
How about
Brown.
That? I thought that was the biggest part
of
this.
It was great.
Because he did exactly what they wanted him to do.
You and Zeus, he said. The Bengals had to go shopping because Alex Highsmith dog-walked that last offensive tackle they had. So it's you and Zeus. He kept pounding it all week. And the whole thing, he was great.
A reason why when people talk about, you know, well, move on, do this. He's a unique guy from what I've seen. And I get to see him a little bit behind my own little curtain when we do these shows. And you see the personality and really the concern he has for the people on his team, not just as players. And that comes shining through, I think.
It came shining through when he said on Thanksgiving, each and every one of you is invited inside my home here. Do you think they had 80 people there? I'd show up. Wouldn't you, Bob?
I think it would be, yeah. It reminds me of the day when Jerome Bettis used to have Gladys, his mother, make dinner for everybody.
Yes.
And the same kind of stuff.
Tomlin said, I'd like to open my home up to anyone and everyone in here. He's the type of character, and they're few and far between, Bob, who you could watch reading the phone book when phone books existed, right?
He would have some line that makes it all worthwhile.
And it would somehow be compelling.
It would be.
Now,
it always is.
And here's the thing, though. Here's the dilemma, I imagine, that people face is they haven't come anywhere close to winning a playoff game in 7 years, which is a lifetime in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But Tomlin is a guy you automatically want to root for. You want to play for. All of that. And yes, you get to see him. And this came, by the way, out on the day that Willie Colon said that Tomlin basically saved his football life, maybe his life altogether, when he was out and hurt and you know, down like guys are. He said, yeah, come on, travel with the team. Guys, for the most part, love him. But there's the dilemma of them not winning really big games anymore. They haven't done that in a long time. Yeah. So I think people are torn because he's a guy you want to root for. And we don't get to see, I think, the real Mike Tomlin behind the scenes like that a lot, Bob. You do. Tell us what he's like when you just walk in there.
Charismatic.
You do a show with him every week,
I do a show with him every week. He's charismatic. We go over a lot of stuff. He's fun to talk to. He's as normal as anyone can be. I think some of the times you see coach speak from all of them. They get up in that microphone, and it's got to be some sort of image that they want to, you know, put forth. But he has this ability. You can hear him talking to guys in the hall when he's coming down when we do a show, and he's engaging them. He's, you know, motivating them. That Zeus thing, you could hear him yell that the whole week last week. Yeah, he really was. I mean, he just pounds it. That's what you remember when, who had trouble with fumbling? And he would pound it, and it was at Mendenhall, somebody else. I don't know who it was, but he would make you.
Jonathan Dwyer.
Yeah. Yep. He's carrying that ball. He's reminding every single. It's in your head so much that it has to, you know, carry through, that you have to protect the football. He has a way of doing it that is kind of unique. He's also got a wonderful personality and a lot of humor in there that people don't really see.
And he also spoke yesterday to the fact that football is his job and his hobby, that burnout's not an issue, and I believe that. You know, of the things I question about Tomlin, one of them never, ever has been his passion for his job, his love of football, all that. And he's obviously an incredibly sharp guy, too. His main problem has been his hiring practices of late and some of his personnel decisions, notably pinning the future of the franchise on Kenny Pickett and Matt Canada.
Right.
Those are two horrendous franchise damaging decisions that they're to their credit, I think, but not too much credit because they made those decisions in the first place. The Steelers decided to cut bait real quick, although probably not quick enough with Canada.
Yeah, Canada went into 3 years before it was cut. So
there's all of that with Mike Tomlin. But man, at the beginning of the show, the idea was to show all four AFC North coaches addressing their teams. Three of them are football coaches. One of them's a movie star. That you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. He's that guy.
And when you deal with 18 years on the job, he addressed this yesterday talking about his messaging. Number one, his messaging, for those who haven't been around it, is fresh. And I thought he gave a really good answer about this, that, you know, my audience changes every year, with the exceptions of guys like Cam Hayward and people like that who's been around forever. He knows it. He understands it. In fact, he believes it to the point where he then carries it out. You often see these guys use the terminology that he uses in their own speech.
Right.
Which is amazing to me.
So, Mike, my question is, and I imagine tons of people watched this last night, is do you find yourself conflicted on Tomlin? I think I would. A guy I desperately want to root for, who I find very likable, especially when you go behind the scenes and see the real Mike Tomlin. Sometimes he's not all that likable, for instance, at his news conferences. But a lot of coaches aren't. Conflicted in the sense that you want him to win, that you like him, that he's a compelling figure, but they haven't won in a long freaking time. It's not that they haven't won a playoff game in 7 years. They haven't been within a million miles of winning a playoff game in 7 years. The only close score was 45-42 against the Jags, and they got a junk touchdown late in which he misplayed it anyway by not kicking a field goal, then trying an onside kick. So they haven't come close. So I imagine there's some conflict there when you look at the character. And he is in this show a character, Mike Tomlin. 412-928-9370. I loved what he said about Chase Brown, too, the Bengals running back. He's like, we have to establish a relationship with this guy. He might not know your name today. He'll know it Monday morning. Just great stuff all the way around. But the show itself fell a little short for me, Bob.
That's because I thought expectations are too high, you know?
Well,
I mean, people kept talking about this as if they're going to see people, you know, trash talk one another. And you have to remember, the teams do have a little bit of control about
how much do they have. Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But they do have control. They're not going to allow somebody to say something that puts the organization at a risk. You know what I mean? They're not going to do it. So they do have control. I don't know the exact amount.
I know, but it's happened before.
I think they want the passionate parts of it. They want Mike Tomlin talking to George Pickens on the sideline. They want... You know, I guarantee you there is an exchange between Hockley and Tomlin in that game many times. You're not going to probably see it. Number one, because I think the NFL doesn't want their, you know, officials to be under that sort of light if they say something that could make people say, well, wait a minute, he apologized to him for this or whatever. You don't want that.
I wanted it to live up to its name, which is Hard Knocks, and get inside some of the difficult stories and have Tim Benz wrote a great column for the Trib today, a great column. He says, I'm wondering if Hard Knocks is ever going to get hard because episode one was soft and sanitized. I agree 100% with that. You can get some of that stuff on Inside the NFL. It was great footage of Cam just destroying people. I love it. I love the behind the scenes stuff, but it was very, very sanitized. As Ben said, where's the conflict? Where's the edge? Where's the intrigue? I mean, my God, the things going on in these cities. George Pickens is story number one here. Let's go travel with George Pickens. Let's sit down with George Pickens. Let's get in a meeting room with Tomlin and Pickens. Now, I'm sure, as you said, that teams want to exercise and probably do exercise some control. Okay, then blame the teams, I guess, in the AFC North. But it didn't live up to, and it hasn't for a while, this show, by the way, live up to the brand name from a long time ago when you would see things like Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson and feel the tension. Right. Remember that in the meeting room? This was happy and soft. And if you like that, and I do, it was a nice bowl of popcorn. But well, I wanted to see some intrigue and some tension,
I think,
as
you will.
Ben says.
I think you will, as this week and the Ravens week moves forward. You may see more of that, and you may hear things that you won't hear anywhere else.
Maybe.
Because of the passion and emotion of those games. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm also thinking this week with Cleveland coming into town, they're going to, you know, play that George Pickens comment that they're no good. Browns aren't good. Right? You know, and then we'll see the reaction on the field. There could
we'll
be some
see.
Tension there.
As Ben's also said, there was no reference to Pickens getting in a fight at the end of the Cleveland game, the decision to have Justin Fields throw. I want to get into some of that. What about Myles Garrett's history with this franchise? More of that. Maybe that's coming up here, as you said, in this episode. I'm not confident of that, Bob, though, because this show has gone soft. They should call it
but
soft.
Again,
they
I
should
think
call it
there
soft
are mitigating, there are mitigating circumstances that...
But weren't there always, or has that changed?
I think there always have been. I don't know to what extent. That's the question that you'd have
to
find out.
I mean, we used to see guys getting cut and their reactions to that. We used to go inside people's houses and really feel, you know, the tension and the pressures of an NFL life. It was fun to see the Haywards together. That was a fun part of it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. That was getting inside, and they went home with the Haywards. That was cool. But I want to see more of what our friend Benzi is talking about. There's so much intrigue and hostility here. And they got a little bit into Chase and Minka and things like that.
Can I give you a different perspective just on how difficult this assignment is for the people who cover it?
Yeah.
Hard Knocks has all these people here and at the other three cities. And if I could tell you the amount of video that they have to go through, sort out, you know, clip, whatever, and keep it in context with the other three teams. It used to be you're with one team.
Right.
You have everything here. And they have 1 week to edit it. It's a lot of work. It's a ton of work. And there are restrictions. So these people who do this, I know from a television perspective how difficult it is to put it together, make it all work, and in a short period of time.
Sure. And it was a good TV show.
It
but
is.
They should call it Soft Knocks.
Well, again, I think you have to consider how much teams and the NFL in general are going to risk in this. I do think that's a big component. I don't know what extent. But I think you'll see more. I think, I can guarantee you there's going to be more.
Limits your impressions?
Yeah, I didn't think it was as bad as it's being made out to be.
Like, are people making it out to be bad?
Well,
I thought it was good. I just didn't
I thought
think
it was good.
Some people want to, like, they want a nasty exchange between players back and forth.
Yeah, that's why they call it Hard Knocks.
Okay.
I want inside stuff like that, the nastiness.
But some of it gets maybe too nasty, and they want to protect their brand. They want to protect those people if it gets too nasty.
Okay,
you can
but
hear
that's
certain
why you have
things,
the show.
And you also have a beep button. If things get nasty language-wise, even though you're
well,
HBO.
They didn't use the beep button.
No, I'm saying you don't have to, but some of it could be very personal. I don't know the restrictions.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Okay.
I want a guy sitting there in Rex Ryan's office.
You may get it in the Baltimore game.
What's the famous GIF of the guy from the Jets not being able to use his card at the office?
Yeah, Jamal Adams.
Stuff like that, man. I want more human drama and not just happy fun stuff. But there's a place for happy fun stuff. It's a very nuanced situation there. Is it getting bad reviews? Is that why you said that?
No, I mean, I feel like you're poo-pooing it a little bit, like that it didn't live up to the hype, I guess, of what Hard Knocks originally was years
Absolutely,
ago.
I am. Yeah.
I thought it was enjoyable to watch.
Me too.
I wasn't really craving for
I
more.
Also think that it's trying to get a wide, a broad audience here that includes people who are not just into X's and O's and trash talk between players. There are a lot of people who do like going home with Haywards, who do like, you know, the inspirational talks that go on, that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to be always nasty, but I think it depends on who you're.
The balance would be good.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think if you're.
If I had to make a comment, it would be a little bit more nasty, please. You know,
bit more inside intrigue, please. It's not, not just nasty. It's basically happy surface level stuff. And like I said, there's a place for that. And it was a good little television show. It was, but and there's supposedly journalists going out there, right? How is George Pickens not the biggest story in Pittsburgh right now? And how do we not get more of that? Like you said, maybe it's the Steelers putting the kibosh on it. I'd have to know more. Can we get somebody on Limits from HBO? Would that be a possibility? I'd like to do that, is see what the exact parameters are.
I have
a
couple of guys I can text to see if they would be willing
to
do it.
Sure, if the teams have total control over it, then you just have a hard time doing a television show, Bob. If they have 100% control over what goes out there, then really, why are you doing it?
It's not 100%. I'm just saying they have, and I think the league is also in this position. Again, with regard to officials, there were 6 penalties called on Joey Porter in that game. I'm sure there was some stuff going on between Tomlin, Hockley, or linesman, or anything, you know? So
why
I don't
couldn't
know.
You show that?
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't. I'm suggesting to you that the league may want to protect the images of the officials if there's something said that doesn't make them look good. That's all I'm saying. I don't know.
Right. So you're suggesting it could have been sanitized, which is what Benz is suggesting, that possibility is out there. It sure looked like it, which is too bad. But it was still a good TV show.
Yeah. And I'm sure it got big numbers.
928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got all kinds of things happening today, including the big boy, Mark Cabali, joining us in the 10 o'clock hour, the noon hour. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And you can always check in with our friend City Limits on the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Lots of Steeler talk today. We're proud to be part of Fan for the Win initiative. And it's our day of giving, and hopefully your day of giving, to the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh.
Can I add something there about them too, Joe? Because they do a fantastic job down there, right? They have a ton of people who do excellent work, and they also rely on a lot of volunteers. And I know my daughter, Selena, has spent time doing that, and she sees some of these stories firsthand. So it's a very well worth cause to have it here, and you know, and they make a difference.
Absolutely, they do. And we're going to be speaking to folks who work toward this greater good here coming up periodically throughout the show. Cabali, coming up. Also, your thoughts on Hard Knocks, if you watched it out there. 412-928-9370. Six-pack brought to you by Bet365. And let's talk a little FanDuel. Lots of things happening in the NBA last night, for example. Before I watched Hard Knocks, I stayed up and watched,
I did too.
I watched the Warriors. What is going on with the Warriors, Bob? I became very, very angry
hot and cold,
at that
hot and cold.
And then I stayed up for Hard Knocks till 2 a.m. And then I wrote a column, Limits, on the Golden Rule, the Golden At-Bat.
Oh, geez.
Somebody from The Fan put my opinion out there on Twitter, and I got ratioed like nobody before my time.
How about that?
But
what was your take, out of curiosity? Because, we'll get into that a little bit later.
My take, Bob, is that baseball has a long history of wild and revolutionary rules changes, and what's wrong with a little fun? When did we all turn into 1940s sports writers? We're keeping Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame, and we hate the idea of Shohei Ohtani getting an extra at-bat? Who are we, all Ron Cook now?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm for Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and all those guys getting in the Hall of Fame. So I've gone... And I like what they did with the pitch clock. I do not like the guy at second base to start the 10th inning. Stupid rule.
Do you like 9 balls for a walk? Because if you're a baseball purist, that's how the game began.
No, I understand.
Do you want to go back to the original rules?
No, what I'm saying is this. If we're going to get in this now, then we're going to have to be here
get
for
into
a while.
It, Bob. Let's go.
Well, I'm going to talk about why I think it's stupid.
Okay.
I like to use that word when I think things are stupid. I think that's a stupid rule. And here's why, more than anything else. I understand why you'd want a marquee moment. But when you have a team like the Dodgers who are going to spend $2 billion over the next 2 years, and you have a team like the Pirates who choose not to spend anything, which is on them, I'm not going to defend that. But what I say is, if there's a disproportionate amount of talent on one side or the other, so if you have Ohtani, if you have Betts, if you have Freeman, if you can name any one of those guys, okay, bring him up twice in the same inning. You're going to do that. And yet, a team like the Pirates will send up Brian Reynolds, no disrespect to him, But come on now. That's well, team. Plus, it's a strategy thing. You're trying to win a game,
yeah.
And that becomes gimmicky to me, in my opinion.
More gimmicky than ghost runners on second base?
No, I just said I don't like that.
More gimmicky than nine balls is a walk?
You're going back in time now.
I'm a baseball originalist, Bob. I want nine balls as a walk, four strikes as a strikeout, and also what else? Oh, the mound 10 feet closer. What about the DH that they brought in 1973?
I love the DH. I don't have a problem with the DH.
That was 100 years of baseball.
And I'm saying you can do both. You don't have to make everything radical changes to please an attention span audience.
Actually, you do to save baseball. Okay. And Rob Manfred has done great things to save baseball. He's done great things.
I think he's done a good job. And he does consider things. And I don't have a problem with this coming to the table. What I'm saying to you is not everything is worth implementing. This, to me, is going over the top. It affects how games are strategized. And if you're just going to say, I'm going to bat Shohei Ohtani, why don't we do what they did in the Olympics, right? Who was the Washington guy? Oshie comes in with every penalty shot, every single one.
They already decide NHL games with a breakaway contest. They decide college football games with mini games from the 25-yard line, right?
It's still even. It's 3-on-3. It's not okay. Bringing up Ohtani versus Frank Tavares.
Well, actually, the Pirates don't have the quantity of other players, so it's quality over quantity. It should benefit them.
Here's your radical idea, Joe. Have a salary cap. Bring on some economic sanity to this game. Spend
some money on your team.
I agree with that. Okay? I'm agreeing with that. I'm saying, though, to make it – you want to force Bob Nutting to spend, bring in a salary cap.
I'm a baseball purist. I want nine balls as a walk. Four strikes is a strikeout. I want the original rules of the game. I'm also a football purist,
Joe. I think you're wonderful. I think you bring good ideas to the table. This is just not one of them.
I'm also a football purist, Bob. I don't want forward passes. That was the way the original NFL Constitution was.
Okay. That's fine.
What's wrong with a little fun? An extra at-bat, a TikTok moment for Shohei Ohtani.
You're interested in TikTok
moments now. We're all
TikTok
the fun police.
TikTok moment, really?
Ohtani against Chapman with bases loaded in the eighth? You didn't deny yesterday.
You can't have that every single time.
Even though you're against it, that you would be compelled by Ohtani getting an extra at bat.
Not willing to bend the rules of the game to see it, though.
Were you willing to bend the rules for the DH 50 years ago?
I wasn't around 50 years ago.
Do you like that rule?
Because for
100 years, they said if you play the field, you have to hit.
All right, there's been change, though, Joe. It takes time. That's a more radical change
than this one.
DH?
For 100 years, they played baseball. If you play the field, you have to hit. Then somebody in one of the leagues said some guy picking splinters out of his ass can come up and hit for the pitcher.
It's an even situation where both sides now do it. That's fine. No, it's not. Again, the disparity between haves and have-nots
is very much better players.
Again, salary cap would change that.
They
just went out and spent $185 million
This
on
helps
Blake
them.
Snell, another Cy Young winner. Just keep loading them up and say it's even, please. You can have, okay, this is what
you're
I want.
You're getting
then.
Acrimonious.
Let's bring, no, you want change? Here's change for you. We're going to go half fastballs here. I
he
want Blake Snell.
Me of being
he's going to be out of the game, but I want him back in the game. I want, all of a sudden, I'm going to put in any one of my Dodger pitchers who were just taken out of the game, but I want him back in the game.
Is that crazier than nine balls is a walk?
Come on, Joe, you're making
nine balls is a walk? How about ghost runners on second?
I just said I don't like that. There are things I like and things I don't like.
I think Rob Manfred's done a great job of updating the game. I appreciate
the thought of trying to do so, but I just don't think this is a good one. That's all. I don't want to get into an argument. It's not worth getting
into. We did get into an argument, Bob. We just had
one. You're pushing my button. It's 10:33. I normally don't get up.
Why aren't you pushing my button, Joe? Why are we cast as me pushing your buttons, but you not pushing mine?
I'm not pushing buttons. I'm telling you my opinion. You're pushing me.
I'm telling you my opinion.
No,
simple
you're not.
As that. Yes, I am.
No, you're trying to discredit mine by going back into 1900 or 1800.
But you're not discrediting mine by calling it stupid.
Wait, no.
If you're a baseball purist or a traditionalist or an originalist, how are you not in favor of the first rules of the game? I thought that's what that meant.
I didn't declare myself a baseball purist. I want to see change, but I don't want a massive change to, I think, the integrity of a ninth inning the way it's supposed to happen.
Okay.
You can strategize your I don't like a pitcher coming into the game and have to face three batters. I don't think that's a good rule. I think that really messes with strategy.
How about the idea that for the first time since the game was invented 150 years ago, you can't deploy your defense the way you want? It's Fan for the Win today. And this hour's game changer sponsor for our fight against domestic violence is Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And here to talk about that is Lauren Lega and her co-owner, Greg Billy. Lauren and Greg, thank you for coming here and thank you for what you do.
Yes, you guys are big proponents of what goes on. And tell us, both of you, just why you find the need to be involved with the women's shelter. I know myself, as I said, my daughter volunteers. She's told me stories about some of the people that come down there. So I know it probably hits home with a lot of people around here who may know people who've gone through it. So tell us why you got involved.
Yeah, so I think that it's really important, you know, as a local business to support the women's shelter, because there are a lot of people in need. And if we can, you know, support their efforts to help women who may be in an emergency situation, we're very, very, it's very near and dear to our heart, and we are very much committed to helping in every way that we can. So we both sponsored, we donated some items. There's a website that you can actually follow a link, and it actually sends the women's shelter a lot of the items that they're in need of. So we were able to use that link and donate many, many items for those folks in need.
And I think that's important, because a lot of the women, if people don't know some of the stories, if you're in this domestic situation, you sometimes just go. You don't take anything with you, and you're there, and you need things.
Absolutely.
So that's great that Hand and Stone would step up and provide those kinds of items that sometimes nobody has, and they need them.
Absolutely. When we heard about the efforts of, your radio station, we were, more than happy to contribute.
And you've been here before, Lauren, yes?
Yes.
I just remembered that when you reminded me. That was a big day on the fan.
That was a big day for me.
Who was I with that day? Chris Muller or Ron Cook? That's what I don't remember.
Yes, Ron Cook.
He's a memorable figure, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Do you find him handsome?
Do we have a Ron?
Of course I find him.
I just want to make sure.
No, it was great. Clip it was great.
Here's a Ron clip that could spice up the proceedings limits, I think.
Oh, geez.
Speaking of that, Ron never wanted a massage because he said he had too much back hair and he was ashamed. That's just a little aside that probably wasn't necessary.
He told me he was too busy.
No, he was lying. So what services do you guys provide? And how about gift cards? How about, I like to give gift cards because I'm very bad at choosing gifts. What services do you provide and how can people get access to these gift cards?
So we provide massages, facials, and waxing, and also a service called Neve Skin, which is a treatment that helps reduce fat in your body. So,
my God, I could use that on my gut. A ton of that on my gut.
It's a very good service. And so we also offer gift cards. We have retail products if people want skincare products and the like. And our program is built around people being able to relax, making it the best hour of their month. That's our goal. Is people come in, it's the best hour of their month. Nice and relaxing environment, professionally trained massage therapists and estheticians. And so we have a lot of very happy members. We get professional athletes come in and use our services. So it's good for the full range of people. And
I've used your services and it's excellent. Great stuff. I came out feeling like a new man, Bob.
I think people underestimate the importance of a massage. Everybody gets all, look how I just sat. I'm slouching. And if you're at a work
You have terrible
day,
posture, Bob. I'm no trying, offense.
I know. Well, yours not much better. Maybe you could bring in someone to bat for you, though, in those situations. So,
I should, yes.
But I mean, I think it is. And I think, again, for people who are in distress, who have problems, if you can help them out in any way, even something like that makes a big difference.
Yeah, we have wonderful. We have also, don't forget, we have hot stone massage,
those
facial services.
What do you do for dry skin, by the way? I have some right now.
We have a wonderful hydrating facial. Men actually can benefit. Come in, get a facial. It's very hydrating. It makes you feel good. It's good for your skin. We have vitamin C products. With this weather, it's like a barrier for your skin. So it's important for everyone to come in and get spa services.
Well,
We appreciate everything you guys do, and I can tell people, I can vouch for it firsthand, that you have an awesome place, and we also really appreciate your generosity for a great cause. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
Lauren Lega and Greg Billy. You have, just to be clear, different franchise owners, right?
Correct. Yes, there are 7 Hand in Stone locations around the Pittsburgh area. I have the ones in Cranberry and East Liberty. Lauren is in Upper St. Clair and McMurray. There are also Hand in Stones in North Fayette and Robinson and Wexford and downtown.
Okay.
So stop in any of them. We all have the same services and the same great customer service.
Excellent. Thank you guys again.
Thank you for your time and thank you for what you
really
do for the women's shelter.
Yeah, taking the time to come in here was really above and beyond. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
All right. We move to Pitt basketball, Bob. A very abrupt change to Pitt basketball. Because this is worth it. George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. George, there's big doings around here. A lot of people looking at Pitt, I think, in a different way than they were maybe only 5 days ago, 6 days ago. Is this team, I asked you this the first time, but are you more convinced that this team is better than last year's team and is maybe a legit threat to do something special?
I am, Joe. I am. Thanks for having me, as always. I am convinced. I mean, I was in Columbus for that game against Ohio State, and although their defense wasn't the sharpest in the first half, it was truly impressive to see that they just kept making plays on offense. They stuck around, and that's what good teams do. They keep making plays. They wear you down. So once Ohio State got cold, once Pitt tightened up its defense, the offense took over, and they really got contributions from everyone in that game. I mean, Papa Conte was a guy who hadn't played a single minute at the Greenbrier. And this guy comes in 18 minutes to go in the second half. Capel goes with him, and he's a total spark plug, scored 12 points, grabbed, I think, 4 offensive rebounds. Biba Cummings came in, the local kid, hit a big step back 3 when they were down 10 to just keep them in the game. So yeah, man, they're a loaded team in terms of depth. Like, they've had production from just about everyone on the roster. They even had 2 guys who hadn't played yet this season come in at the end of the game and foul. So up and down the roster, they're looking solid right now. It's going to be tough going forward without Damian Dunn, but man, after watching that Ohio State game, I'm pretty convinced that this team has it in them to make the tournament and win a few games there.
So, George, they are also a team that's guard friendly. They have a lot of nice guards, and I like that with Leggett specifically and Jalen Lowe. But if there's a weakness for it right now, what would it be? Is it just, the beginning of that game, I thought they were going to get dominated in the paint, and they ended up and winning the boards, I think, in Columbus after not having that advantage early on. So if you had to break down the weakness for the Pitt Panthers at this point and something they may need to improve upon, what would that be?
I'd say rebounding. I like how you brought that up, too. I actually heard Jeff Capel talk about this on a podcast earlier this week with national analyst Jeff Goodman. The rebounding has been a group effort, and it's going to continue to be. But when you've got a big like Guillermo Diaz-Graham averaging 7 rebounds a game, like, that's not going to continue in the conference play. That's because the teams they've played in the non-conference, these low major, mid-major teams, are just smaller than he is. But as you start to see, like, this game against Mississippi State tonight, they're going to be really tested on the glass. Mississippi State has a nice big man, Keyshawn Murphy, who's 6'10", 230, can match up with Cam Corin. And then Cameron Matthews is 6'7", 235, another forward they've got. So these Power 5 teams, these high-major teams, are going to start to challenge Pitt on the glass. Corhin's only averaging 5 rebounds a game right now, something to look at as they go forward here. But I think defensively as a whole, Jeff Capel wants to see them improve and just play more together and stay up to date, up to the second on rotations and not get behind, because we've seen teams – like, those first half baskets from Ohio State were all wide open looks, whether it was a deep 3 or a wide open layup. Like, this team just has to work on its communication. And he talked about that coming from these lineups that just haven't played with each other. So that comes with time. I don't think Pitt's really worried about either the rebounding or their defense right now. I think it's just 2 things that they're going to have to work on. It's 2 things that I would point out as deficiencies right now.
George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. The Zach Austin shot, I mean, we got to get into this for a second. That was one of the great finishes in Pitt basketball history. I loved your tweet, biggest shot of Zach Austin's life, his answer, and there he is, and he is just so happy. Seems like a great kid. What a moment that was. Is that how you expected, or who you expected to take that shot at the end?
No, I did not. And that's the best part about it, right? Jeff Capel said this play that they had drawn up was, all right, get Jalen Lowe the ball, see if he can get to the basket. I mean, see if he can create on his own from there. I saw Amzel Delalic in the corner, who we've all talked about how he can shoot the three. He made 82 in Bosnia last year. Like, that guy, I thought, was option two if Jalen Lowe couldn't get a look at the rim. But then Austin, the trailer, it's like that Villanova buzzer beater in the national championship with Chris Jenkins. Like, it makes total sense when you look back at it that he's the next option. And once Jalen Lowe saw that the drive was shut off, man, it was really, and Jeff Capel talked about this, it was really impressive how Jalen, who's the star player, who when you're a star, like, you can get into forcing shots in big moments.
Yes.
Think you have to take on that responsibility. But, man, it was really impressive how he trusted Zach. Who, again, shot like 30, he shot 29% from three last year. Like, that's not a good number. Now, he was having his best game in a Pitt uniform shooting. He had already made three or four. I think he already made four threes before that game winner. But, yeah, man, it was unexpected for me to see Zach save the day with a three. But after talking to him yesterday, he is just ready for the moment. He's been working on his shooting. His catch and shoot numbers are up over 10% from last year. So he's just another weapon. Like, he's been special on defense. He can block anyone's shot. He can help on D as well. But for him to develop a 3-point shot and make five against a high major team, including a game winner, is special.
And I give a lot of credit. You hit on this, but I'm going to double down on it with Jalen Lowe, because he had 28 points. He was the guy who was making things happen in that game. Normally in basketball, Joe knows this, the guy, you know, at the end of the game, who do you want to have the ball? The guy who has the most points, who has been your leader, whatever the case. But he recognized what you just said, that Austin's having a pretty good shooting day, and why should I take the shot when he may have a better one? I was a little surprised it was a three, though, George, to be honest. I thought maybe they were, that's, you know, because of the percentages involved. But he was hot. Jalen Lowe recognized it and set him up.
As my colleague Adam Borst actually pointed out, Zach Austin airballed a three from a similar location like 20 minutes prior to that game winner. So I was also surprised that they went for a three there. Again, I don't think it was the initial plan. I think it's like, give the ball to your best player and let him create. But, man, what a big-time shot. What a big moment. And his reaction, man, Austin was super humble about it. He said his sister was the first person he was going to call afterwards. But other than that, like, Jeff Capel talked about it and the players talked about it. They're ready to move on. They're out of Mississippi State now.
George, great stuff. We appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, George, see you.
How about that, Bob, that finish the other day?
Well, first of all, they were down double digits, and you're in that situation at a good team in their venue, and to chip away at it, to come back the way they did, knowing that Dunn was out of the game and obviously not a factor in this. They have some deep shooting guards, and they have some really good players on the perimeter. And I think in college basketball more so, and probably all levels of basketball, if you have good guards, you can do a lot to set up other people.
One of the great finishes in Pitt history, and they look like something's brewing there. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's go to the General. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry.
Oh, the General.
Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Bob, do you have a guess for the Card of the Week?
First of all, can I answer? Because I saw that we did that thing the other day.
Yes.
Did someone claim this card already?
General, did somebody claim the card?
Not unless they have in the last few hours.
Okay, good. Because there was some stuff out there that someone had.
Yeah, someone tweeted us.
I don't know what it was. So I never know what to believe. But I believe the General. If I'm going to pick a card.
As of the weekend, someone reported they got it, but they got the wrong one-of-one skeins. Now, the card they got is probably still $100,000.
Ooh.
There's what's called a super fractor. They changed the background of the card to gold. They number it one-of-one, and it was autographed, but it did not have the debut patch. The patch is the card that everyone's after.
That's the card we were after the other day, General. We had a live card opening right here on the Fan. It was very exciting. Myself, Limits,
yeah,
and Bob.
Yeah, sorry to join you for that. Austin called me, but I just couldn't get there. So,
well, forget who we think the card of the week is for a minute. Are any of these valuable for me? That's all I care about. I have Garrett Cole. I don't know what this is. An all etch. What is that? What it says? All etch.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's an insert that they put, like, so the debut patch that we're talking about is an insert, but it's mega, right? Like, it's like a Powerball. If you could imagine this in terms of the lottery, this is Powerball, not daily number.
So I'm going to win the Powerball with this?
You're going to win. No.
Etched is more like having one of the three daily numbers.
How much is it worth?
Who's the player?
Garrett Cole.
It's probably a $5 card. The cards are beautiful. It's gotten distorted because of the pursuit of the $1 million card, and it really, I wish you guys had.
Does it matter?
To sit here.
Does it matter that I spilled coffee on it?
That could be a problem.
Now it's down to $4. So I have Jackson Merrill, who's a pretty good player.
That was
himself.
A good card, Bob. I
How
was
much
happy
is that
for
worth?
You.
I mean, in time, I hope it's worth a lot more. I hope he goes on a crazy career.
Without seeing it, if it's a regular base Jackson Merrill rookie card, it's about a $15 card. Now, someone did pull from here the other day a Jackson Merrill autographed number to 15, and in a normal year, that would be like a killer. It's probably a $2,500 card, which in normal circumstances would be a lot out of a brand new pack of cards. But Skeens is...
If I forge his number, will that do anything? Can people tell?
Yeah, we don't recommend that. Actually,
right,
you know what they do that's interesting? This is just one small 30-second... clarification is they actually changed the back of the card. So no one would get that idea. They'll put on there that Topps has a notary sit with a player. You've received an authentic autograph. This way, somebody, even if you handed it to Jackson Merrill, it wouldn't be the same thing.
Hmm. All right, my guess, I have two guesses. Russell Wilson card, Owen Pickering. First NHL goal. Thought it was something to celebrate.
And he's a really likable kid. Did you see the interview after the game? Are we guessing card of the week then? Let me go with, I'll agree with you, Bob. Owen Pickering. Limits, what do you have?
In the spirit of the golden at-bat, General, I'll go with Shohei Ohtani.
All great guests, but you should have stuck with Pomp's first inclination. Got to go with Russ this week. We went with a Russ Wilson 2012 Bowman rookie card, but we're going big because this Cole card or the Skeens card hasn't come out yet. I'm throwing in two more jumbo packs, $150 value. We'll add it to the Russell Wilson card. Ooh. But how refreshing was it to see an NFL caliber quarterback go right down the field, pass after pass? We're rewarding Russ this week.
Thank you, sir. You're a wonderful man.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
you guys
General.
Have a good week.
You too.
Yep.
That's the General.
I really expected one of you two to get that card, by the way.
So did I.
Yeah, that would have been great television. It would have made great for your business. And Joe... would have kept it without sharing. And I went on the record say I would have shared.
Yeah, I was
already
I was
there's
just
a lot of friction here. Just ridiculous.
We carried friction into the show today, General. Thank you.
No, we didn't. You stirred
I will tell you
friction.
That it's up to about 95.5 of not accepting the Pirates' offer.
Thank you.
We have
sir.
An informal poll going. Most people are not inclined to take the Pirates' offer.
No, I want gold.
Well, you could
cash.
Take it if they add to it, right? You can still take it and say, I want more.
Yeah, I
sure.
It was an opening offer. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, General.
It's definitely created intrigue, that's for sure.
All right. Thanks, man. It has. We'll be talking with you about it again.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. That is Jeff Patton, Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your card of the week, your chance to get it goes by getting to our website, 937thefan.com, to our contesting page. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High 38 with cloudy skies. Bob, your minions are out. I can see how Pomp and Joe is going to go. Whenever we argue about something, you, like a couple of other media people in town, but nobody quite to your degree, have people who feel compelled to defend you. Somebody said,
I didn't. There was no argument. I was just trying to get,
Oh, there was a big argument.
No, it wasn't.
Let Pomp finish his thought. I thought I was listening to Pony for a minute. Says, Rock and Tay too? Rebel up? Somebody looking out for Bob and his feelings and Bobby Horniak. Bobby Horniak, Bob. You know damn well Starkey knows he's antagonizing you, trying to get you pissed off. Bobby felt the need to come out and defend you today, Bob, and stand up for your rights.
I appreciate that, but it was no need for that. I just think it's a difference of opinion, and it's not going to change, right? You're not going to be able to talk me into that, and I'm not going to be able to talk you into my way of thinking, so that's okay.
Yeah. We'll come back to it, though. I would like to do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Hey, did you talk to people yesterday about it? Did you talk about it? I guess you did because you said you mentioned it.
We did. We had some texters texting in. Limits is on your side. Doran Dickerson's on my side. Crowley seemed to be waffling. That was about it. I didn't hear the afternoon guys, or did I? No, I think Mueller disagreed and Pony agreed. He wants this in the game. And his point was the same as mine, kind of, that every rule in the history of sports is just arbitrarily drawn up. As Pony said, somebody decided one day to paint a line on a basketball court and say, now it's 3 points from back there. And it made sense because they did it. Somebody else decided a long time ago that four strikes wasn't a strikeout anymore. It's going to be three. They decided three was better than two or four. So three somehow becomes sacred because somebody thought it made sense. To me, that's just the way of the world with sports rules.
And but that doesn't mean you have to endorse every single one of them. There are some good ones and some bad ones. I just don't like this one. That's all.
For sure. There's good ones and bad ones throughout the history of sports. Do you like the shootout in hockey?
Well, I've gotten less interested now because of the 3-on-3, which I thought was a great move. A lot of people at the time thought that was gimmicky. I didn't. I thought because it's even. It's three guys on three guys. You just play and somebody wins or loses or you go to the shootout. I'm glad that they, when you get to playoffs, all of this goes away, which is good. And that's the way it should be. No matter if they would implement this rule, the golden bat thing,
yeah.
I would not want it for the playoffs.
There also might be stipulations as Jason Stark, who I think is a very reasoned man. Maybe everybody with Stark in their name likes this rule, Bob. He said if you're behind, you only use it if you're behind in the game. And then also you would have stipulations like you couldn't bat the same guy twice in an inning. But in the end, to me, it's one guy, one at bat in one specific game. And I think there have been many baseball rules instituted way more radical than that. Way more radical.
Okay, let's just hypothetically say that it's Ohtani or Aaron Judge coming up. But you have a pitcher in there who's he has to face three batters,
yeah.
right? And this is
his
third batter.
Right.
But I don't want him to face Ohtani because you made that move. Can I make a counter move and say, I'm taking him out? We're going against that rule.
That might be an interesting thing, too. Do you see all the things that this spawns, Bob? This is very exciting for people. Even Bobby Horniak, I think, would like this. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, every league's evolving. I mean, the NFL, for goodness sakes, has put in dynamic kickoff, which to me has not been dynamic, and they've also told you can't do an onside kick, which I think is the wrong thing.
You can't tackle quarterbacks in the NFL. But as I said, the NFL started where you couldn't throw passes either. Somebody woke up one day and said, hey, it might be a good idea to throw the ball down the field. Imagine the uproar on talk radio then. Was Ron doing talk radio back then in 1906? Imagine if he said that. Imagine if Ron was outraged that they allowed forward passes, Bob. Was that a radical rule change? I think so.
I think again, just on this one, it's just a little bit too much for me. I applaud efforts to change, but this one I would not endorse.
I hear you on that. I agree. I was about to say I agree with you. I don't, but I do respect that. It got heated because the word stupid came up, Bob.
But it was not intended for you personally. It was a stupid concept, that's all, I think. But what do I know?
A lot.
I don't.
You know,
I'm just
lot.
Here.
We've gone way overtime. We should go to the college football overtime.
What happened to the 50-minute mark?
Little mini games from the 25-yard line.
We're going to have a 50-minute mark at 15 after.
Three.
Oh, since when have you paid attention to the clock?
Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet.